Chapter 59 Escape. Maywen doubted she had ever travelled in company with two people less like herself. While she found humans generally intolerable, some few, such as Jen, she could stomach. Torbrand Cairn and the retired General Harband each possessed such a penchant for violence and irreverence, exacerbated by a criminal self-assurance, that their own kind feared and shunned them. How could she, accustomed to solitude, patience, and long wisdom, endure their endless blather, pointless bragging, and manic emotion? The First Mother had asked them to aid Maywen in a bid to free Jen, but every day the temptation to sneak away on her own in the night mounted. Both Torbrand and General Harband had been in Shatan's camp the night Jaren killed Shatan, and once Mirel had informed Maywen of Jen's plight, Maywen had Aethrys use the hair she had recovered from the floor in Elder Lurimora to create a brand so that she could track Jen's whereabouts. The First Mother instructed her to search out Torbrand and the General and ask their assistance. Both accepted eagerly, and while Maywen knew of Torbrand's obsession with Jen and Harband's devotion to the First Mother, she suspected both wanted to help just for the opportunity to bash in a few heads. The former Shadan and former Rugothian General had an instant and unfortunate bond that drew out the worst qualities of the other. In the wild she could minimise the consequences of their impulsiveness. If she ever had to lead them into a city or an inn, she had little doubt they would invent some excuse to start an altercation within minutes, and she would be forced to disavow any knowledge of them. At the very least, Torbrand's appearance would attract little attention, though handsome and striking. General Harman Harband, or Hard Man, as he liked to be called, could easily pass for the ilk in any play that depicted the Apocryphon. His lean, skeletal frame, though not in its prime, still moved with power. His face lacked any padding, weathered skin stretched taut against the skull. Small, cavernous eyes peered from darkened sockets with a juvenile hunger, and light grey stubble capped his head. Most frightening, however, were sharpened foreteeth and fingernails, both the colour of yellowing parchment, and the wicked, spiked war club that hung from a thick, well-worn belt that held up tight black leather pants. He wore his long-sleeved white shirt open nearly to his navel. "I've got to hand it to you, lass," Hardman complimented her. "I thought for sure they would take him to Iron Keep, but there they are. A nifty bit of tracking to find them so precisely. Looks like they'll set up camp for the night." She hadn't bothered explaining the branding Aethrys had performed upon her, content to let the two rascals credit her tracking abilities. They hunched behind thick trees on a low hill, some 200 yards from the main road. An evening haze hung over a shallow valley which was starting to give way to farmland. Elson, a town a couple of miles on, housed a portal that led to the city of Tenswater, a church protectorate shard rich with portals. Nations had fought over control of the small shard so bitterly that the church had intervened for the sake of peace, placing it under its jurisdiction. Most importantly to the caravan carrying Jen, the main portal to the church's headquarters, Muir Aldaloth, lay within the city. Hardman scratched his beard.
"I wonder why they do not press on to Elson. They can't be more than a mile or two out. The church has a small fighting order there that could provide them more protection, and for us— more fun."
"The church wants this little parade kept quiet," Torbrand answered. "Jen, according to them, is supposed to be the ilk, and more importantly, is supposed to be dead. The more they avoid company and questions, the better. They're doing the right thing, strategically. Unfortunately, such a light caravan will provide little sport. I don't think there are more than 30 men down there."
Hardman grunted his agreement.
"I'd hoped for at least 50. "Well, which flank do you want? We'll have this over before full dark."
"No," Maywen objected, trying to keep her countenance. "I think you are forgetting something."
"Yes, of course," Hardman exclaimed. "Thank you, Elf. They have a padre or two down there. Magic is so unfair and unsporting."
"That's not much of an issue," Torbrand piped in. "We wait until dark. Use bows to assassinate the padres. They'll send a token force up the hill to investigate. We kill them, and then clean up the rest. We'll be done before midnight."
"An excellent plan," Hardman concurred. "Let's eat."
"The padres are not what I meant," Maywin interjected as they went for their packs. Both turned toward her with annoyed looks. "While the padres and the soldiers are obstacles to consider, the main issue is the carriage."
"The carriage?" Hardman questioned.
"Oh, you mean that the carriage door will likely be locked? No worries. There isn't a door that destiny can't break down."
"Destiny?" Torbrand asked quizzically.
"My club," Hardman explained a bit sheepishly.
"You named your club?" "I confess that I have been tempted to name a sword or two after some of my more unfriendly wives, but I never went through with it. It's a family tradition." "I see."
"Gentlemen," Maywin interrupted, "the lock on the carriage is not the problem. Your poor human eyes cannot see the protecting runes inscribed upon the sides and the door, but mine can. Remember, Lord Cairn, the many protections cast upon the Shalane's wagon. It survived a solid knock from the helmet of the abomination and a tumble over a cliff. If that wagon is similarly protected, then destiny will do us no good, and killing everyone will just leave us with a carriage we can't open."
"Then what do you suggest?" Torbrand asked. "We are a day from the portal into Tenswater, and then barely an hour to the portal to Muir Eldaloth. I do not want to risk a trip to the church's home shard. As long as we can drive the carriage, we shall be able to get it back to Aethrys and have him undo the magic."
Maywin said, "That, I would suggest, is our contingency plan, though I fear they may be able to magically track the wagon as well. I have an alternative, but what I am about to propose will require such precise execution that we may need something to fall back on."
"Say on,"
Hardman prompted, curiosity piqued. Maywin sat down. "Portal crossings have a single danger. If the portal is closed before an object has completely passed through it, the object will be split in two. We need to be in position near the portal mage on the Eldsen side as they drive the carriage through. It will be moving slowly enough that if the portal is closed at the right moment, the inside will be exposed and the carriage rendered useless. We need to sever the very rear of the carriage, which will expose the insides and chop the rear wheels in half. While I cannot be certain, I am confident that they will do one of two things: go to a church stronghold within Tenswater, or make a dash on foot for the portal to Muir Eldaloth. In either case, Jen and his companions will be more accessible, and the city gives us more places to hide and a wealth of portals to use for our escape. Two of us will go through the portal ahead of the caravan. One will stay behind to interrupt the portal mage."
"How will they reopen the portal if the portal mage is dead?"
Hardman asked. "I never said we would kill the portal mage," Maywin answered. "There is no need. We need only distract him momentarily. And I might add that if whoever stays behind to do the distracting does not appear to do so innocently, he will likely find himself in a great deal of trouble from the church, or even worse, the Portal Guild. Our best chance to recover Jen will be directly after they remove him from the carriage. If the padres have time to establish a ward, or if reinforcements arrive, this will be for naught." Torbrand regarded her coolly, though a hint of excitement bloomed in his eyes.
"Since you say he will find himself in a great deal of trouble, may I infer that you will not be the one staying behind?"
"That is correct. The general and I will go through a few hours early to scout and to acquire weapons so that we can arm the young men once we have released them. You will stay behind. Like it or not, you are the least recognizable of our little party in these lands. I confess I have thought of no good way to deal with the padres. We must not harm them if we can avoid it."
"So to summarize your plan,"
Hardman began, tone carrying a hint of mockery,
"you want to slice open the carriage in a portal by distracting a portal mage and then engage in a pitched street battle with the Elderfair in Tenswater while trying to avoid the magic of the padres."
"And don't forget avoiding the Tenswater militia," Torbrand added.
"Yes."
"That is the most insane, desperate plan I have ever heard," Hardman exclaimed.
"I love it,"
Torbrand voted.
"I do too," Hardman concurred.
"This one is even more foolhardy than the one she and Jen concocted to attack an entire Uyumark company by themselves," Torbrand reminisced. "I'm still angry you didn't invite me along."
"Elves must live so long that they bore of a straight fight," Hardman said. "One can hardly find that kind of creativity anymore, Maywin. You are to be congratulated. I would have to be pig-drunk to come up with something like that. Torbrand, how are you going to distract the portal mage?"
"Maybe you should dress up like a woman and—"
"I'm going to scout about," Maywin announced, though the men hardly noticed her departure as they schemed. By the time she returned, both had fallen dead asleep without bothering to set a watch. She woke them well before dawn, wanting to arrive at Elson at sunup so she and Hardman could scout Thameswater. The road, soft and damp in the late autumn, led by fields freshly harvested. Low stone walls marked field borders, small farmhouses puffing smoke into the chill air. Snow would come soon, and Maewyn wanted to get into Rugoth before the real cold and blinding winter squalls descended on King's Blood Lake. Hardman and the Shaddan rode with the expressions of children in a hay wagon on the way to the fair. The tracker ignored their brightness of spirit easily, a dread of their task settling in as Elson, sleepy and small, emerged at the foot of a low line of hills. The thought of battling humans rather than Uyumak discomforted her, and the magic of the Padres gnawed at the back of her mind, the one asset of the enemy all their strength at arms had no answer for.
"I would have thought the town would be a worthier size, considering where the portal leads," Torbrand commented. "Unfortunately," Hardman explained, "or fortunately, depending on your point of view, Thameswater can provide a greater variety of goods and services at a cheaper price than these little towns. The farmers are forced to cross into Thameswater to barter their goods at low return, actually impoverishing the town more than prospering it. Besides, there is little of interest to travellers passing this way. I'm sure the portal mage has seen nothing the size of the caravan behind us in a good while."
The road from the hill descended gradually, paved stones replacing dirt as they crossed through a low gate, flanked by town militia sharply dressed in blue and grey. The three travellers kept cowls up and heads down as they sped through without a challenge. Despite its irrelevance, the citizens of Elson demonstrated pride in their village, the roads and buildings clean, well-maintained, and inviting. Their horses' hooves echoed through the sleepy street, only a few shutters having opened an eye to the day. The road led straight to the portal, the boundaries marked by two slim pillars flared inward and toward each other at the top. A modest though comfortable house stood nearby, although the dark of the windows and the lack of smoke filtering through the chimney evidenced that the owner had yet to rise.
"I will part ways with you here," Torbrand announced. "I will breakfast and then start to work in a state in which I can aid our plan. While I will not take the part of a woman, I can certainly manage drunk and disorderly. After my little disruption, I will try to move through the portal as quickly as I can, though you may have to spring me from a holding cell first." "Good luck, my friend," Hardman saluted. "We shall see you soon."
Torbrand rode back toward the center of town while Hardman rousted the portal mage with a few wood-splintering knocks on the door from Destiny. Maewyn gritted her teeth, assuming a lesson on subtlety would find little to stick to in the head of the brutish general. The only advantage, Maewyn surmised, was that when the scrawny young portal mage did emerge from the door, he was so indisposed and intimidated that he simply opened the portal without bothering to collect payment, or force Hardman or herself to sign the customary ledger. In moments they crossed through the shimmering blue field and into Thameswater, which was bathed in afternoon sunshine. As with the Rugothian side, a small building stood nearby, the blue-robed portal mage sitting on his porch talking with two stoutly built men. He regarded them briefly as the portal winked out, returning to his talk.
"Church soldiers out of uniform," Hardman commented about the two men once they had left earshot. "Both fighters and too clean to be mercenaries. I think they are giving the portal mage a little notice. My bet is they pass through the portal before long to give my new friend on the other side the same information. If they are giving advanced notice, it could be that they have implemented some arrangement that will make our day a little more interesting."
Maewyn nodded. Finally, Hardman was saying something useful. "Let's scout their most likely track to the portal to Muir Eldaloth first, and then acquire the weapons. We've little time to get our bearings before the caravan reaches the portal." While Maewyn eschewed the sights and sounds of cities, Thameswater she could tolerate for its unique qualities. As a church protector at Shard, an ever-present guard diligently discouraged the accumulation of the filth, noise and urchins that plagued other places of similar size. Strict regulations prohibited gambling, prostitution and public insobriety, meaning that only good, clean commerce was allowed free rein. Even more striking than its wholesome character, however, were the myriads of naturally occurring pools and fountains that dotted the level, grassy landscape. The water, clear and blue, showed hints of the limestone caverns from which it emerged. Trees grew strong,
and wide in the tracts of verdant grass. The buildings of the city, rather than running in long, uninterrupted rows, clumped together in areas where the lack of pools had allowed builders to put down foundations. The abundance of water had forced the road pavers into a more artistic frame of mind, white stone paths and streets rarely running in a straight line for more than a few yards. Maewyn and Hardman's business, however, prevented them from dwelling on the pleasant scene. With a few quick questions to the local guard, they rode off in the direction of the portal to Muir Eldaloth, finding it a short time later no more than a mile from the Elson portal. Unlike the tall shops with pointed roofs that shot into the air around them, the church had constructed a circular granite fortress around the portal to their holy city, a mass of guards patrolling a solid wall that rose 20 feet into the air around it. A portcullis, shut and guarded, stood between any passer-by and the ornate portal enclosure inside. A grand semicircular wreath, some 15 feet in diameter, spanned the portal area, carved leaves of beaten gold reflecting dully in the late afternoon light.
"Well, Maewyn, I think we would do well not to let the caravan anywhere near this place. Honestly, I wish this city were a little more like Mickmere for our purposes. You could send a toddler from one side of this town to the other with a bag of gold and his innocence, and he would get to the other side without endangering either. But this may be harder than we thought."
To hear such a cautionary statement from one of the most reckless, foolhardy people she could imagine sent a chill up Maewyn's spine. But she gathered her resolve and turned her horse back toward the portal to Elson and its nearby cluster of buildings. If the church managed to get Jen into Eldaluri Mora, then no one would have a chance at recovering him. Tenswater was their only opportunity, and she would take it. For the next hour they scouted the route to several portals close to the one from Elson that they could escape to once the job was done. They purchased plain but sturdy swords from a local merchant, who was surprised but pleased to have sold so many at once. Hardman removed his cloak and bundled the swords inside to carry them less conspicuously. As evening settled in, lanterns flared to life and a chill rode upon a northern breeze. Hardman and Maewyn tied the horses to a tree at a small park adjacent to the portal to Elson and snacked while they waited for their cue. The cold air emptied the streets, but the portal mage remained at his post, eyeing the two strangers across the way with curiosity and a little suspicion. Only the portal flashing blue tore his eyes from them. Maewyn and Hardman stood, moving quickly to the horses, but only a solitary figure astride a horse emerged before the portal winked out.
"It's Torbrandt," Maewyn said. "This is not a good omen."
Hardman whistled and signalled their companion over.
"What news?" Hardman asked. "What are you doing here?"
"Our little plan has run into a hitch," Torbrandt reported, breath channeling the ale he had recently imbibed. "The churchmen are clearing the street and shutting everyone indoors. They posted a contingent of guards at the portal. I had to be very persuasive to win my way here."
As he finished, the unmistakable sound of armoured men marching sank Maewyn's heart.
"We should have attacked them last night," Hardman muttered.
"Let's get clear of here," Torbrandt suggested. "If we can get down a side street, we might be able to remain close enough to see what is happening. If we stay here, they will force us into the nearest building. Ride now."
Maewyn and Hardman mounted quickly and rode after Torbrandt. They crossed the street into a smaller road to the side of the portal mage's house. To their right, a file of at least 50 men in polished chain mail with white tabards marched toward the portal in perfect cadence. As the three fled into the smaller avenue, they spotted a smaller contingent of soldiers rounding up groups of bewildered townsfolk and forcing them inside a nearby inn. Their leader, a muscular, clean-shaven warrior atop a bulky grey warhorse, signalled for the fleeing trio to stop.
"My apologies, citizens. You must dismount and go inside until we signal that the way is clear." "We have business just beyond here," Torbrandt explained casually. "May we not continue and enter there?" "No,"
the warrior answered firmly. "Tie your horses to the rail and get inside."
"I won't ask again."
Maewyn admired Torbrand's restraint as he worked up a relaxed but annoyed sigh and complied. They tied their horses to the rail as quickly as they could under the close scrutiny of the church soldier.
"Grab your gear and keep close," Torbrandt whispered.
They took what they could carry and followed Torbrandt to the inn door, a commanding tone and expression asserting itself over his former carefree levity.
We'll have to hurry to have any chance of this at all. Keep close. We'll be making for the stairs.
Maywin turned up her nose as they crammed their way into the packed common room of the crooning loon. The stench of beer and the unnatural warmth and stink of cramped bodies, combined with a steady din, fermented the atmosphere into an uneasy agitation. Torbrand put his muscular frame to good use as he unapologetically and forcefully ploughed through the throng, Hardman and Maywin following in his wake. The stairs provided a convenient place to sit, due to the paucity of chairs and benches, but Torbrand simply stepped on whomever wouldn't move until they gained the second story. Dim lanterns lined the hall where even more people loitered. The former Shadan paused but a moment to consider the doors around him, and then, victim chosen, strode forward and kicked it open without checking to see if it was unlocked already. Patrons screamed and shied away, Maywin gritting her teeth as she plunged into the room after Hardman, finding they had interrupted a plump merchant counting silver coins in a small, ornate box.
"Thieves!"
he yelled, clutching the box to his breast like a treasured infant.
"Thieves! Guard!"
Hardman's hand shot out and grabbed the man's pudgy cheeks in an iron grip, while Torbrand yanked open the shutters.
"We don't want your money, pig,"
Hardman hissed, eyes intense.
"Shut your yap, or I'll cut your tongue out and use it to polish my boots."
The terrified merchant scooted back on his bed, yanking a grey woolen blanket around himself with his free hand, as if he hoped the cloth would ward him from the demon before him.
"Just as I had hoped,"
Torbrand stated with satisfaction. Maywin went to the window and peered over his shoulder. Beneath the window, an eave sloped downward, terminating at a height just above the lowest part of the portal mage's roof. A 5-foot gap separated the two.
"It will be a little tricky, but manageable."
Torbrand hoisted himself out the window. Carefully he stood on the brittle wooden shingles, smiling wickedly as they jiggled, cracked, and slid underneath his feet.
"Excellent,"
he muttered to no one in particular, before crashing headlong down the eave and heaving himself over. Several shingles tumbled over the edge and into the alley, sound covered by the ruckus of marching men. He landed on his stomach with a thud that shook the portal mage's house. Hardman's eyes raised speculatively.
"I think I'll let you take the next go at it, lass. I need another example before I attempt that. I'll barricade the door and make sure this fellow stays quiet for a couple of hours. Or so."
Maywin wasted no time, nimbly jumping the distance and landing lightly on her feet. She could only watch in horror as Hardman defenestrated and executed a desperate run and leap with all the grace and poise of a fat, delirious cow. He landed unceremoniously on his side, slipping backward. Torbrand spared him the indignity of falling into the alley with a deft grab of the hand. Quietly, they worked their way to the top of the roof and peered over. Light from the soldiers' torches illuminated the portal enclosure, the company forming up on either side of the road.
"I count at least 100, Torbrand informed them. "I can't see any pure men or padres yet. There are at least 10 men on horse. I don't think there is much we can do here, Maywin."
Maywin's mind raced down dead end after dead end. Her companions were right. They should have tried to rescue Jen the night before, though even that, she thought, would have ended in defeat. She turned on her back and lay facing the stars, trying to imagine the First Mother's disappointment at her failure. The church had learned its lesson about caution from the disastrous caravan journey through Elder Lurimora.
"I'm sorry, Maywin," Hardman consoled her. "Perhaps tomorrow we can dress as pilgrims and get into Muir Eldaroth. I doubt they'll let anyone through tonight. I suppose we'll have to find a different inn. I doubt they'll let us back into this one. It smelled bad, anyway."
A flash of blue signalled the portal opening, and they crawled back up to the apex of the roof and peered over. A padre came through first, followed by marching church soldiers. At last, 4 black horses and the wagon pulled through, followed by another padre and the remaining soldiers. Once they were through, the portal winked out, and the caravan stopped as the soldiers took their places, the fresh soldiers replacing their travel-weary brothers.
"So close," Maywin whispered to herself.
"May I join you for a moment?"
All 3 startled, nearly losing their balance on the slanted roof. A woman dressed in black and veiled walked easily up the incline toward them. Her voice sounded aged, and her back was bent with time.
The slightly acrid smell of old ash accompanied her as she walked past them and stood at the top of the roof, careless of the eyes that might see her silhouetted against the sky. Maywin cast warning glances at her companions, who already had hands on weapons.
"You will appreciate this, elf," the woman said. "Come watch. They will not see you."
Despite the reassurance, they took pains to present the smallest profile to those below. The woman incanted and gesticulated. A cracking sound momentarily silenced the soldiers as the wagon tongue broke in two and fell. The padre behind the wagon spurred forward, casting his eyes around. With another chant and a downward motion, the wagon quickly and quietly sank into the ground, the driver heaving himself to the side to avoid interment. When done, the road appeared as solid as it ever had, soldiers and padres gawking at it in disbelief.
"I want 10 men digging in this spot right now," the padre shouted. "I want every portal mage in the city rounded up and taken to the bastion immediately. No one leaves this shard until that wagon is found. Double the city guard. Call up every soldier. Search every building. Go!"
The woman turned and casually walked down the roof.
"My time is coming and I must go. Take care of Jen. He is your only hope."
"Where is the wagon?" Torbrand asked.
"Your elven tracker will find it," she answered. "Good night."
She jumped from the roof and was gone.
"Was that who I think it was?"
Hardman asked.
"Joran," Maywin confirmed.
"Why would she help us?"
Hardman followed, sounding perplexed.
"From what I was told of Three Willow, she had tried to capture Jen for herself, but it appears as if she is simply content to let us have him now when he is within her power."
"I do not know," Maywin responded. "Her mind is dark and twisted, her reasons her own."
"Can you find the wagon?"
Torbrand asked, scooting downward toward the roof edge.
"Will they survive being buried in the dirt?"
"I can find it.
She's using a spell the elves perfected for travelling within the earth. They should be quite safe.
We, on the other hand..."
Maywin let the thought trail off, as they dropped into the alley and waited in the shadows as the mass of soldiers broke apart in groups and scattered.
"They will knock the entire city down," Torbrand stated. "It will be amusing to see what tale they offer as justification, and even more amusing to see how we will get off this shard."
Hardman asked, "How far away is the carriage, Maywin?"
"I cannot say for sure. Come, I think we can sneak by now."
They turned away from the main street that led by the front of the inn, slipping to the rear of the structure and ducking down behind a low fence that bordered a tree-lined road.
"I can see two of the church soldiers," Maywin announced, peering into the dark. "They seem at their ease."
"Only two,"
Hardman complained.